Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hey weirdos, it's been a while and we miss you a bunch. So our producer Jason and me, Rachel Feltman, are here to give you a very special bonus episode while we prep for season two, which should be coming pretty early in the new year, along with another live show at Caveat. So, Jason.
Hi, Rachel.
Hi, Jason. I really have no idea what you have planned for today.
Yeah, we've been off the air for about a month, and I had the idea as we started our prep for season two to do a little retrospective on season one and say, like, well, what were the weirdest things we learned and who did we learn them from?
So yes,
I've been working on this spreadsheet for about a month. It is both color-coded and there's lots of different Excel formulas. It's very exciting to me because I'm a big old dork.
Data.
And so I call this a statistical breakdown of the weirdest things we learned.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So let's dive right in. What were the weirdest things we learned?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the best place to start before we jump into the topics themselves is to talk about our contestants, our panelists, our colleagues, and friends.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you one guess as to who appeared on the most number of episodes during our first season.
Wow, I have no idea.
Surprise is you, Rachel Feltman.
What? The yes. Host of Weirdest Thing?
The host of Weirdest Thing. You appeared on 22 of our 25 episodes.
Oh. And I'm sorry I missed those three.
That's okay. They were perfectly legitimate absences, and we missed you terribly, but I'm glad that you're here now discussing.
They're actually some of my favorite episodes, though that might just be because I haven't experienced them before I listen to them. So I'm like, whoa, such weird facts, which, you know, listening, you know, when you and I go through the final cut of the episode before we release it every week, it doesn't have quite the same impact because I, you know, was there. But anyway.
Right. You get to become a part of our weirdo community.
True. I am the weirdo. It's amazing.
You want to take a guess as to who appeared on the next most episodes?
I'm going to guess Eleanor.
You're right.
See, Eleanor is always volunteering to be on, and I'm like, I don't want to exhaust your weird fact repository, but she just keeps them coming.
She, bless her.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird stuff in that beautiful brain.
And then number three in this podium of weird people is Sarah Chodosh.
Yes, that would have been my guess as well.
Yes. So Eleanor appeared on 13 episodes or 52% of the first season, and Sarah on 11 episodes or 44%. Then Mary Beth, Claire, and then shockingly next is me. And then Corinne and Sophie were both on twice, along with both of our interns from last semester, Anna and Lexi. And finally,
Stan Horacek.
And Stan Horacek.
Yes. Our cameo appearances.
That's right. That's right.
And we definitely hope to have them on again in the next season because even though they each only came on once, all of their facts were delightful.
Were so memorable.
Yes.
So now that we've gotten total appearances out of the way, who do you think won the most number of episodes?
I'm going to guess Eleanor.
Oh, I'm so mad you got it. I'm so mad. I was... But that's it. Eleanor won six of her appearances, or six total episodes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that gives her almost a 50% win percentage of the number of times she's been on the show.
Wow.
Which is crazy. And she's won almost a quarter of the entirety of the first season.
That's amazing.
She is incredible.
So weird.
So while Eleanor may have won the most number of episodes, she didn't win the highest percentage of times of people who were on the show.
Mm.
So who do you think won the most of their appearances overall?
Oh, man. Well, I would assume that one of the people who was only on like once or twice won.
Sorry, not counting the people who were on once or twice.
Oh, good. I'm glad you got rid of the statistical outliers.
I did.
Because that would have been pretty unfair.
So that would have been Tom McNamara, who was on once and won once, and Anna Brooks and Sophie, who have each been on twice and won twice.
Mm-hmm.
So not counting the 100 percenters.
I don't know. I'm going to guess Mary Beth or Claire.
It's Claire.
Ah, good, good.
She was on seven times and won four of them, giving her a win percentage of 57.14, but only 16% of the overall first season. I'm having so much fun with this. let's get into the topics, and I will briefly show you, though not reveal the statistics, my super colorful spreadsheet.
Wow.
So what I've done here is taken every episode and laid it out into three columns and then a fourth column for our
Amazing.
Halloween Spooktacular when we did four topics, and assigned each one a category.
Great. Right?
So our seven general categories of episode are, or
is one of
segment
them butts?
Topics.
Is one of them butts?
One of them is not butts.
Okay,
I'm so
on.
Sorry. That would be a subsect of bodies, which is our first.
Great.
Followed by animals, weather and nature, food, design and engineering, which is one, experiments and results, which is one, and people doing things you wouldn't expect.
Wow.
So the caveat for that last category, why I decided to create it, and Eleanor actually helped me coming up with these categories, it's about the person who is doing the thing as opposed to the thing or object or animal itself.
Right. So people being weirdos.
People being weirdos. So as an example, when you did a wonderful segment on the New York PD's beekeepers, that's about the people. It's not about the bees.
Right.
So that would fall onto people doing things you wouldn't expect.
Got it.
We'll play our guessing game again and say of those seven categories, and again, they are animals, bodies, people doing things you wouldn't expect, weather and nature, food, design and engineering, and experiments and results. Which do you think appeared the most on the first season of The Weirdest Thing?
I want to say bodies, but I don't know if that's just because almost all my stories are like body horror stories.
You're right. Bodies made up almost a quarter. We had 76 segments.
That's because bodies are weird.
Bodies are so weird. So 19 of our 76 segments were bodies.
Wow.
Yeah. And it also has the, it won the most number of overall segments. It won seven.
Yeah,
out of 25 winners.
Everybody can relate to the fact that bodies are weird.
Bodies are so weird.
So weird.
Rachel, do you have a favorite body-themed weird fact from our first season?
I am really partial to the one that got me the win at our first live show, which was about Mary Toft giving birth to rabbits. Did that count in your bodies?
I actually put it as people doing things you wouldn't expect.
Interesting.
Because
interesting
it was about
choice.
Her inserting rabbits into her vagina. It wasn't her body going through a process.
Right. Her vagina didn't dictate the
correct
the behavior.
Correct.
I see. Yeah, that makes sense. And as I started to say it, I wondered if maybe that was actually in the other category.
The last time I was here at Caveat, I talked about preformationism, which is the idea that sperm or eggs are just little tiny people. And that if you're not just literally a copy of your dad, it's because your mom's uterus like malformed you into a bitter lady. And this was still that time. So part of that was believing that women with their like mysterious womanly powers could inadvertently turn their children into rabbits.
The magic of the uterus.
Right. And Mary had a story that she was telling people that she had been pregnant and had tried to chase down a rabbit for dinner and it had gotten away and it was like her white whale. She just craved rabbit for the rest of her pregnancy.
That's what Moby Dick is about, right?
Yeah, exactly. So people were like, yes, it was sensational, but it also, considering what they believed about where babies came from, it wasn't that crazy.
So if we're talking actual body stories, literal body stories, I was a big fan of one of yours, The Fartiste.
Oh, thank you.
Great, great story of a man after my own heart who turned farting into an art form.
He understood your brand.
There is really nothing like getting a bunch of rich people to pay to sit in a room watching you fart. It's great. It's the dream.
One day we should all be so lucky.
I also really loved our story about that was from Anna Brooks, one of our interns, about how when George Washington died, one of his doctors and friends wanted to fill his corpse up with lamb's blood to try to revive
that story
him.
Still haunts me to this day.
Yeah, I love it. It really made the history of our nation come alive for me. Though it did not make George Washington come alive. They did not do that.
No, they did not try to bring him back from the dead in the end.
And I also love that one because one of my first facts on Weirdest Thing, I think it was either our first or second episode, I did smoke enemas.
Yeah, that was it was episode number 3, and it was the first one that you won.
Amazing. And that was, you know, a smoke enema is where you literally blow smoke into somebody's butt, as it were. But it took me onto this really amazing deep dive about the history of resuscitation. And those were always my favorite facts. The ones where I was like, I'm looking into this because it's weird. And then the actual fact was so much weirder than what I started with.
Rachel, do you want to recount how you came to choose smoke enemas as a topic for the Weirdest Thing?
Yeah, we were. So Popular Science has won Science Friday's annual trivia night 2 years in a row.
Science Friday, the PRI show, who are our friends and we love them very much.
Yes, we do. And that sounded really condescending, but I really do love everyone at Science Friday. But yeah, so we won because we're great. One of the trivia questions, it was around where they would put up pictures of, is this a medical instrument or a torture device? I think
What's the difference?
Right. I think that is what we were supposed to be guessing. And one came up and it was like this, it looked like a bellows for a fire, but it had like a little like nozzle hooked up to it. And I looked at it and I was like, that goes in a butt. And everyone was like, what? And I was like, I don't remember exactly what that's for, but like, I remember seeing illustrations of an apparatus like that, and I am positive that that goes in somebody's butt, and that it is a medical device.
And you were 100% correct.
I was right. And then I was like, but what is a smoke enema? And that took me on a real journey of discovery
that we all got to go on with you on episode 3.
There are a few reported cases of the smoke enema working. It is what it sounds like, and in fact you could improvise the device, which was like a pig's bladder or a bellows and some kind of tobacco pipe and a nozzle. They actually started putting them around waterways like the Thames.
They would just sort of leave little kits next to the river.
It was like a first aid or CPR kit.
Wow. Just like a phone booth, but for saving someone if they've apparently drowned.
Right. And so mouth-to-mouth was considered vulgar in many circles. A lot of physicians were pushing for mouth-to-mouth to be a thing or publish papers on sort of blowing air through the nose or doing like early versions of tracheotomies and things like that. But for the most part, people were grossed out by mouth-to-mouth. And apparently,
I just love that they were grossed out by mouth-to-mouth, but blowing tobacco smoke up someone else's butt was not a thing that they felt was gross.
All right, let's return to our game here. Mm-hmm. We have 6 categories left. Animals, people doing things you wouldn't expect, mm-hmm. Weather and nature, food, design and engineering, and experiments and results. Which appeared next most after bodies?
People doing weird stuff.
That's it.
Whoa. That's almost like I was present for 22 of the 25 episodes of the show.
I'm looking now to see which episodes you were not on. Rachel, I have some exciting news for you.
What?
You were on every single episode where I categorized people doing things you wouldn't expect.
Oh my God, amazing.
That is incredible. So no wonder you got it.
Yep.
That is also the second highest percentage of
winners.
Mm-hmm. It's 20% of the episodes that won were people doing things you wouldn't expect. So those are, in reverse chronological order, a woman who births rabbits, laughing gas parties.
Right, yeah.
Sex magic. Good old sex magic.
Yeah, I love that. I love that story. The history of rocketry and sex magic. And also Scientology is in there.
And then Eleanor's story on medical cannibalism.
Oh, love that one.
The very first appearance of people doing things you wouldn't expect. The winner of that episode technically was the best dog. But do you remember what the real winner was?
Jeremy Bantham.
It was Jeremy Bantham.
An actual taxidermied man.
It's too bad, honestly, that we don't, like, because we have wax museums, but we don't do the same thing with people. We don't feel that it's okay to, like, stuff them and place them on
except for Jeremy Bentham, who has been he's like stuffed at the University College London and his head rolled off. Is this the weirdest thing I learned this week?
The weirdest thing I learned this week. Yeah.
He wanted to be taxidermied upon death. So like the way it works is that they tried to do like a basic taxidermy process, but it doesn't take very well to humans. Like your skin gets really leathery and you look horrible. And so now they have this like wax mold of his body, but on his real bones. And it was recently brought to New York as part of an exhibit. But most of the time it just like sits in this college university hall.
So I have to ask an important question.
Yeah.
Did you categorize my story about Tesla being in love with a pigeon as an animal story or a people doing weird things
people
story?
Doing weird things story.
Okay, good. Because don't blame that on the pigeon.
No, it's not the pigeon. Although she was beautiful and he loved her beautiful. As a man loves a woman.
He did. Yes, he did.
Yes, that was in fact the same episode as the Fartiste that we had just mentioned.
Oh, right, yeah.
And Sarah Chodosh rounded out the episode with meat lozenges.
Oh my God, meat lozenges. All of the episodes are so good. I need to go back and listen to them all.
That's in doing the research for this spreadsheet, and I would listen to episodes just to, you know, get a flavor for what the things were.
A meat lozenge flavor.
A meat lozenge flavor in case I had questions about what category something fell into. Mm-hmm. And I would say, I'm just going to listen for like 30 or 40 seconds to get the general understanding. And I listened through probably half a dozen episodes.
They're so good.
They're so good.
Also, I love how many of the people doing weird things stories take place in the Victorian era, because kind of a meta narrative that kept coming up over the season, especially when Eleanor was on, was this idea that she had actually found some academic papers on, that the Victorian era was just full of all of this bizarre behavior because people were kind of having this existential crisis about the sudden breakneck speed of scientific discoveries, and evolution was suddenly a thing, and there was like electricity, and people were moving at a pace they never could have expected, and so they had this kind of like spiritual crisis where they were like, so could anything be proven real by science? And so they did like a lot of seances. She described it as like adolescence, but at a societal level. And I love that. And now whenever I hear a story about people in the Victorian era doing something super strange, like having parties where they got high on laughing gas together, or eating people, like actual humans,
and for mummies specifically,
their
they
health. Yes,
mummies,
as mentioned in the medical cannibalism episode. Yeah. Now, whenever I hear stories like that, I'm like, people were just being teens as a society.
As it's a amazing. Society, yeah. We, puberty is rough, but you get through it.
You get through it, and then. I don't know how to finish that.
You emerge on the other side building rockets and doing sex magic.
Yeah, I was going to say, because like Jack Parsons had kind of the same thing where he was like, Jack Parsons was the sex magic man who founded JPL, which is now part of NASA. And he really believed that all of the stuff we were figuring out in the scientific world meant that it was totally reasonable to assume we would eventually figure out magic. And so he was really into magic, sex magic specifically. I will say the phrase sex magic as many times as I can. And it was, to him, these ideas of science and engineering and magic, sex magic, were not mutually exclusive. He was like, yeah, I'm figuring out how to build a rocket that can get people to the moon. And I'm also figuring out how to crack the code for, you know, doing an evocation to summon a sex demon goddess to be my wife, which he believed he successfully did.
His last wife, Marjorie Cameron, he believed he had conjured her up in a sex ritual. He had been trying to conjure an elemental. He basically wanted like the personification of some kind of satanic goddess to be his perfect wife. And he had done this ritual a few times, I believe. And Eleanor looks a little
so much. This oh my god, this is so weird and gross.
Eleanor's expression is just.
He was Jack Parsons was, you know, the disgust. Kind of self-proclaimed feminist who calls women goddesses, you know.
Demonic goddesses? Yes. That are his creation.
Not his creation.
Okay.
Just
his summoning.
He had asked that she show up, and she did. That's what he believed.
So we have a tie for third place for the most appearances of a category.
Mm.
So our five remaining categories, and you'll choose two of them, are
okay.
Animals,
mm-hmm.
weather and nature,
mm-hmm.
food, design and engineering, and experiments and results.
I'm going to guess animals and food.
No.
No.
In fact, neither of them is correct.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's the answer, Jason?
It's design and engineering.
Okay.
And experiments and results.
Interesting.
So if we're looking at the winners from each episode,
mm-hmm.
that's the first underwater video.
Oh, yeah. That was great.
Yeah. Bears in ejector seats. Secret drug toilets.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was a good one. Sucked into a bottle.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
That moment of remembrance.
Yeah. It was a penis that got sucked into the bottle.
It was explosive decompression.
But I imagine that story is haunting if you have a penis.
It's not haunting. And then from our live show, the worst dairy disaster.
Oh, yeah.
And
Butterfires.
Butterfires, the great Madison Butterfire,
mm-hmm.
and Bubble Wrap's origins.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have an idea as to which one won more segments? Now that I have just listed them.
Between design and engineering and experiments and results?
Yes. One of them won twice as many as the other, in fact.
I don't know. I got nothing.
Design and engineering.
Oh, okay. All right.
One, four, and experiments, one, two. So now we've just got...
Who needs experiments anyway?
Three categories left. And so let's get them all out of the way now.
Okay,
let's
great.
Give me a definitive ranking of three, two, one for third to last, second to last, and last.
So what were they? It was food, animals, and what
food,
was
food, animals, and weather and nature.
Okay. I'm going to say animals... Food, weather, and nature.
Nailed it.
Awesome.
There are just some really incredible stories here. Illegal cheese, mm-hmm. the oldest Maggot mac cheese. And cheese, mm-hmm. ketchup condiments, the first celebrity diet.
Oh my God, Lord I Byron. Love that one. Lord Byron.
That was our second episode ever.
It was a great one.
It's a great one. Claire just setting that precedent early of of winning.
Yeah.
And Sarah Chodosh and her love of organ meats.
Mm-hmm. Delicious.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Eat your heart out.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. We haven't recorded in weeks. I've got
oh, my goodness.
So many puns inside
oh,
me.
Did I miss this? So, Rachel, before we move on to questions from our listeners, we mm-hmm. had asked for questions from social media. I'm wondering if there are any facts that did not win an episode that you... believe were either robbed or mm-hmm. on another episode might have won.
Mm-hmm. Some that I think were really amazing that if they had been on less superlative episodes would have gotten a win. I mean, I'm biased. I had talked about Hildegard of Bingen in an episode.
Von Bingen.
And it was like a really amazing journey into like the history of women in science and like the female orgasm. And Wiley nuns. And I, you know, I am the biggest Hildegard of Bingen fan. I actually think my roller derby name is going to be Kildegard von Bring It. So
that's amazing.
Thank you.
Do you think that she just would yell von Bingen whenever she like...
like as a Eureka.
I love that.
Like when the abbot couldn't pick her up and finally gave up, and she was like, Von Bingen. You just got Von Bing.
I do love that.
I think that's great. I think that should be like our new our Eureka.
Yeah, definitely.
I had a Von Bingen moment.
So who else? So our one of our two live show episodes featured illegal cheese, Sarah talking about maggot cheese, and maggot it was cheese. A real like crowd pleaser, by which I mean people were kind of vomiting, but they loved it.
Just like if they had eaten the real cheese.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it would have won if not for Mary Beth's showstopper of a fact about a giant butter fire.
And then I came across the greatest flaming dairy story of all, which occurred back in 1991, and I found it thanks to this amazing clip from News 3 in Madison, Wisconsin.
It literally came out.
Oh God.
In gushes. I mean, it's like a dam opened up. A
That's butter.
River of butter. This love grew, and firefighters were in it for days.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
A river of butter.
A river of butter. Welcome, my friends, to the Great Madison Butter Fire.
And similarly, you know, I actually won the second half of our live show with my fact about Mary Toft giving birth to rabbits. Understandably so. I was very proud of that. Well earned. But Eleanor had a great fact that episode about a taxidermy horror story. Really sounded like something that would be in like a Tales to Keep You Up at Night or like Reddit No Sleep. So I think that was probably robbed by me.
So we all sort of paused there and we're staring at it and I'm like, wow, let me tell you about this, you guys. Like I read the book about this. Like I know everything. And so I tell them all about it and then I'm ready to go, you know, get lunch. And my mom is like, you have to come look over at this side panel. And then on the very far edge of this amazing diorama, it says the lion bones are real. The camel bones are real. And also some of those human bones are super real.
I would say those are the ones that stand out to me as like really, really great facts that should have gotten more recognition. But they're all great, like I said.
All of our children are wonderful.
All of our children are wonderful. They're all my favorite.
All right, so let's dive into some listener questions.
Yay.
The first one comes from Amelia. She asks if we are planning on doing any special guest episodes in the future, maybe featuring a science celebrity.
Ooh, great question, Amelia. We have had a few friends of the show interested in being on, and there are certainly a lot of cool scientists and science celebrities, as you say, who we would love to bring in. So that's definitely something we've talked about and something that we have some tentative plans for season two.
Awesome. Our next question comes from Ashley, who says, there is a Parthenon replica in Nashville, Tennessee. Can I see the illusion at that location, or do I have to go to the original?
The whole point of the illusion is that it would look weird and bulgy if it wasn't built with those dimensions. So if it is a true replica, it should have those curvy lines. If it doesn't, you should complain because it's a crap replica. Of course, it could, you know, there are a lot of crap replicas in the world. So I cannot answer this. I can say that if it's a good replica and looks right, then it should also have the weird measurements.
So I did some quick research on this last night, and I had basically the exact same answer as you. Mm-hmm. But what's interesting about the Parthenon in Nashville is it was built for Tennessee's centennial because Nashville is known as the Athens of the South.
Huh.
And it has a replica of the Athena Parthenos statue, which is a massive, massive statue of Athena that had been built in the original, and they replicated it here.
Wow.
And I will show you a picture of this with a person for scale.
What?
It's enormous.
What?
41 feet tall and 10 inches.
Wow.
Yeah. Or 12.75 meters for our friends who use metric.
It's a big lady.
It is a big lady. And then our final question comes from Steve, who wants to know, where can I buy polar bear liver?
Wow, Steve.
Don't buy polar bear liver.
Don't buy polar bear liver. Polar bears are having kind of a rough go of it right now, so I wouldn't say it's the right time to indulge, frankly, your suicidal interest in...
Or maybe murderous.
Oh, that's true. Maybe. Don't murder someone with a polar bear liver, because it's rude both to the person you're murdering and to polar bears. So, you know, pick a different poison, please. I'm sorry. I'm not going to help you poach a polar bear liver for murder.
Sorry, Steve.
Sorry. So right. Good luck, though.
I think that brings us to the end of our season one recap.
Woo!
Is there anything that you would like to talk about on reflecting on our first season, or any maybe potential changes that you've thought of for season two that our listeners should look out for?
Oh my gosh. Well, I just want to say that season one was so much fun to make, and it was so rewarding that so many people enjoyed it so much. We loved hearing from you. We loved seeing that you were watching the show and rating and reviewing it. We even love those of you who only comment on iTunes to be like, what's with all these girls who have vocal fry and say like so much and disrespect our founding fathers? We love you too, and I hope that you have a good day. But we are really excited to prep season two for you and get that running. As for changes for the show, you know, we're really excited to do more live events. We had so much fun during our first run at Caveat. We're definitely doing that again early in the new year, so stay tuned. But, you know, we'd also love to go do that show other places. So if you have a place where you would like us to do a Weirdest Thing show, please hit us up. Similarly, if you are a scientist or a science-y person who is interested in being on the show, also hit us up. Send us your weird facts. You know, I think we have found this amazing bunch of weirdos who love listening to the show, and we want you to be part of our lives. I love that our fans are so enthusiastic about like evangelizing the show. And you should keep doing that. Now that we are, you know, off for a few more weeks at least, your friends have an opportunity to just like shotgun all of Weirdest Thing and be ready for every holiday party. You can weird out so many coworkers, spouses, coworkers, family. Family, spouses, and coworkers. So, yeah, it's a great time of year to learn a lot of weird stuff. And we hope that you will share the show far and wide so that when we come back for season two, we have even more weirdos to get weird with.
Absolutely. The best thing you can do to help us out is just telling a friend, telling a family member. My friends and family members are sick of hearing about this show because I talk about it all the time, you know, especially when people like my stepsister who just went on her honeymoon in Hawaii, and I got to tell her all about what the beaches there were made of.
It's poop.
It's poop.
The answer is always poop.
The sand is poop.
Yeah, and if you guys have any suggestions for how you would like season two to be different, definitely let us know on Twitter or Facebook. Opinions are like butts.
Everybody has one, mm-hmm. And they're all great.
Yes. It's not true at all, but everyone has one, and I'm happy to look at it. There you go.
Rachel, thank you for joining me for this introspective look at the first season of Weirdest Thing.
Thank you, Jason, for that astounding spreadsheet.
You're very welcome. Remember to hit us up on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook, search for The Weirdest Thing. It is a group that you can join. You'll see our logo. Twitter, we are at @weirdest_thing. I'm Jason Letterman. This is Rachel Feltman.
Woo!
Thank you all for listening. We will see you again real soon.
Bye.
Bye.
The Weirdest Thing I Learned This Week is a Popular Science podcast. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, SoundCloud, or wherever you're listening right now. And if you like what you hear, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps other weirdos find the show. You can buy our merch, including Weirdest Thing t-shirts, tote bags, and mugs at popsci.threadless.com. The show is produced by all of our hosts, including me, Rachel Feltman, and our editor, Jason Letterman. Our theme music is by Billy Cadden. If you have questions, suggestions, or weird stories to share, tweet us at @weirdest_thing. Thanks for listening, weirdos.
you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.